Okay, this is Parak Gimel on Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim. And now we're going to continue with the process of the Avoda that takes place on Yom Kippur. Halach Aleph, Shnei Agarolos, Echa Kotzov Olav LaHashem, Echa Kotzov Olav LaZazel. So there were two lots. One said the for Hashem on it. The other one said LaZazel. V'hem K'sherim Mikol Davar, Bein Min Eitz, Bein Min Evan, Bein Min Techa. So it doesn't matter what those two lottery blocks are made out of. It could be wood, stone, metal. But they have to be of equal size. You can't have one bigger, one smaller. Echa kesev, echa zav, or two different materials. Ela shneim shavah. They have to be equal. Vishal eitz hayu. So in general, they're made out of wood. Ubay sheni also some shal zav. In the second temple, they made them out of gold. Manicha shnei gorolos b'kli echad. They put both of the gorolos in one container. Hamachzik shtei adayim. So that two hands could fit into it. Kedei sheyachnish shtei yadav. So that two hands could go in. V'liyiskav. And this way, he's not favoring one side over the other. Now this kli was not a kli sharis, which means it was a regular weekday kli, so to speak, not hektish. V'shal eitz haya, it was made out of wood, the kalpi shmo, and it was called the kalpi. Halacha beis, heicham magril, so where exactly did this lottery take place? The mizrach hazara, the tzafon mizbeach, so in the eastern side of the temple courtyard area and the northern part of the mizbeach. Minichon shama kalpi, they put the kalpi there. Maminish neas irin panayan namara v'achren mizrach, and the two goats will stand there with their heads faced towards the west, and the rest of them facing east. The Kohen Gadol Baal Lasham, the Kohen Gadol will come there. Baskan Mimino, the assistant, the number two Kohen will be to his right. Rosh Beis Av Mispolo, and the head of the, what do you call it, of the group, of the group over there, Mispolo will stand on his left. Ushnei Yisrael Lefanov, and the two goats in front of him, Echa Mimino, Echa Mispolo, one to his right and one to his left. So what would he do? Halacha Gimel, Tarfa Kalpi, he put his hands in to the into the container. Behela shtei gorolos v'shtei yadav l'shem shnei asirim u'paseach yadav. So he would take out both lottery blocks in his two hands put them on the two seirim and open up his hands. Imshel shem alav emino. So if the one to Hashem was in his right hand, which would be over the right goat, haskan omer ishi kohen gadol hagvei minecha. So the number two kohen would say, kohen gadol, raise up your hand, your right hand. Then bismol alav, and if it came out in his left hand, right, meaning Hashem, Rosh Beis Av Omer lo ichikon gadol hag bismolecha. Then the Rosh Beis Av would say, lift up your left hand. Then he placed both of the lottery things on each of the goats. So yamin al yamin, shmol shmol, the one on the right and the right, one left and left. Then the imlo nasan lo ike ve'el shachiser mitzvah. Let's say he didn't put the lottery blocks on the animals. It's okay. You're just lacking, so to speak, a kiyum. Shanacha mitzvah shena makeves, because placing it on there on the animals is not critical. The hagrola makeves, but the lottery is. Alpi shena voda, even though it's not actually part of the temple service. The vikach, therefore, hanacha kshira bizar. That's why putting it down on the animals, a non-coin could do it. Va'alias hagrola shena kalpi psilo bizar. But taking the lottery thing blocks out of the container, that a non-coin can't do. Halacha da'al, kosha lashen zuhuris, mishkal shtei slaim. There was a red string that, what do you call, weighed about two slime worth. It was tied to Rosh Sirim Shalach, that was tied on the goat that's going to be sent out of the cliff. And it's positioned, okay, so that, what do you call it, it's positioned in a way where it's the Sirim Shalach is standing where he's going to be exiting the base of Mikdash, and for the Sir that's going to be slaughtered, next to where it's going to be slaughtered. V'shochet is parachata shalo. Then the Kohen Gadol would shecht the slaughter of the parchatas that was his, vesa seir sha'ala alav agor l'shem, as well as the goat that's supposed to be designated for Hashem. Okay, lachay. Machdis dam on the heichal. Now comes the sprinkling. So he bring the blood into the heichal area, the inner part of the base of Mikdash. Umazem bidam shtehem biyom hazeh arbaim mishlosh hazios. So he would sprinkle from these two bloods 43 sprinklings. Ve'ilahen, and here it comes. Mazet tchila bidam apar shmon hazayos bekodesh kodashim. So first he would take the blood of the bull, and he would do eight sprinklings in the inner Kodesh Kodashim, bein by the Aaron, and between the poles of the Aaron Kodesh, karv l'kaparis, betefach, about a tefach away from the curtain, shenemar v'nei kaparis yazeh. U'mazeh sham achas amalav shev lamata. He would do seven, one above and seven below. B'yishvul lamdu, shezeh shenemar shev ham yazeh, yeser al z'yirashonos. When it says in the Torah seven times, it's on top, on top of the first one that you do. So this is how you count. Achas, 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 shtayim, achas, shlosh, achas, arba, achas, v'chamesh, achas, v'sh, achas, shevas. You would actually count out loud. Why? Why would he count achas, v'achas, achas, v'shtayim? Shema yishlach v'yimna hazir rishonim v'kal sheva. Because we don't want him to forget to mix up the first hazaya, the first sprinkling, with the other seven. V'arachach mazem idam asara. Then he would sprinkle from the blood of the goat, bein badei aron, shmona. I mean, he would do eight total sprinklings in between the poles of the Aron from the blood of the Sa'ir. Achasim ala v'shav lamata, one above, seven below. Amunah k'derech shmoneh b'dam apar. And he would count the same way he would do for the blood of the bull. The chozer mazav heichal parochas v'dam apar shmoneh. And then he would go ahead and sprinkle on the parochas itself from the blood of the par eight times. Achasim ala v'shav lamata. Again, one above, seven below. Shekach nemar v'dam apar akaporos b'lo yifnei akaporos. It says on it and before the kaporos. Amunah k'derech shmoneh upon him. Bifnim, and again, counting eight in the same way. The chozer mazav itam asayer, and then he goes back and he sprinkles the blood from the goat. Kain al parocha shmona hazayos, once again on the parochas eight times. Achatzim ala v'shalamata, one above and seven below. Shneru dam asayer v'asas the melkasher son apar. Munak kadeach shmona apar, bifnim, and again, counting eight like you would in the inside. V'chol eila hazayos, all these sprinklings, inu miskadim ehen lahazos lomav lomata ala kematze. He didn't actually have intention to think that he's going to sprinkle above and below. Rather, he just does it. After the sprinklings, he mixes up the two bloods together, the one of the bull and the one of the goat. And then he sprinkles on the four sprinklings in the four corners of the inner mizbeach, and that's in the heichal. And there were seven azayos in the middle, what do you call it, of this mizbeach. So for these 43 sprinklings, Tobo as well with Dam Tvila, I'll call Isaiah. He would always dip his finger back in for each sprinkling. Lo shiyaza shtei azayos mitu lachas. He should never do two sprinklings from one dip. Vishare Adam, any leftover blood, shofech al yusod amarabi shal mizbeach litzon. He would pour down at the bottom foundation of mizbeach on the western side to drain the remaining blood. Elachazayin. After this, vachach mishalech as a sarir achai, yad each hamucham alich with midbar. So then he would send the goat that's going to be thrown off the cliff with a person who is set aside to walk into the desert. Anyone can take the goat. But in general, the Kohanim decided to make it so that only Kohanim would do it and not a non-Kohen. There were these booths that were set up from Yerushalayim all the way to the beginning of the desert area. And so there was always one or numerous people in each booth. So they would escort him from hut to hut. So in every hut, they would tell the guy walking the goat, hurry, muzzle and remind, there's food and water if you want. And if he was weak, he should eat. But as the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings down, the individual never had to eat. Now the people in the last hut would stand at the border of the midbar. They would see him from a distance. Now, what would they now do? What he would do is he would take, now that you reach the cliff area, he would take the string and he would divide it up around the horns of the animal. So half of it was tied to a rock. The other half was tied between his horns. You push him and he's umis gal yored, and he would tumble down, roll over, and fall. And he wouldn't make it until, what do you call it, halfway down the mountain before, or cliff, before his bones were broken. And then the escort would go back to the last hut and wait there until nighttime. And what they would do is they would have like sentries that were set up all the way, who would wave these flags, let the people in the base of Mikdash know that this ear was done. And then after, what do you call it, after sending off the, what do you call it, the seer, who would, what do you call it, after the person escorting the goat to the cliff was sent from the base of Mikdash, Chozer Eitz Al Pal, the Kohen Gadol, go back next to the bull, the Hasayir, and the goat, Shehizam Dam Lefnim, right, Vikoran Umotzi Zimran, so he would rip open the animals, pull out their organs, the Nosa B'Kli, put him in a Kli, Umakiran Al Gabi Mizbeach, and burn him on Mizbeach, Machasek Shar B'Saran, Chatiyot Zolos Ma'oros, Zu B'Zu, Kamin Kliya. So what we do, we then start cutting up, what he called, the meat into a lot of pieces, but it still was connected to each other. Veno Mefarakosan, and he doesn't, what he called, separate them. Mushach V'Yadachirim, Lotzim L'Beis Shreifa. And rather, what he does is, he sends them out to be burnt in the Beis Shreifa. V'Nachten Osan Sham Be'oron Kamosh B'Yano. And they were cut up together with the hides, as Rambam explained. So the normal skinning that would take place by the animals didn't take place on Yom Kippur. Halacha Ches. Kimet Shigis, Asar the Midbar. So when the goat reached the desert, Yatsa Kohen Gadol Ezra's Nashim, the Kurs of Torah. At that point, the Kohen Gadol would go into the Ezra's Nashim area and read from the Torah. Vizman Kriyaso Sofen Apar, Vasar Beis Deshan. While he was reading, so then the bull and the goat were burnt in the base of Deshan. Lefikach Haro Kohen Gadol Kishuhu Koreh. Therefore, if a Kohen Gadol, if someone sees a Kohen Gadol reading, in a row of Harvest or in his Ruffin, he won't be able to see the what do you call it? The par and satyr burning. That's your fasan share bizarre kamush meanu. And like Rama mentioned, a non-kohen can actually burn the par and the satyr. Lachates kriyazu. Now the reading of the Torah here ina avoda is not part of the temple service. Nikachim ratzel ikwas b'vidichol levanim shalokare. So the kohen gadol can change into his polo shirt and khaki pants and read from the what do you call it? The Torah. The ratzel ikwas b'vidichol. He could retain the big yelavan he wore before, the white garments, because the begadim for the kohanim were meant for them to enjoy. Even not at the time of service. So what was the kriya? He would sit down in the Ezra's Nashim and all the people stand around him. So the chazan, the attendant of the shul, would take the Sefer Torah, and the Rosh Knesses, he would give it to the head of the synagogue, Rosh Knesses Nosel Skan, and then he would give it to the Skan Kohen, but Skan Nosel Kohen Gadol. And the Skan Kohen would give it to the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol, Omen Vakabel, Omen Vakora Achrimos. So the Kohen Gadol would stand up, accept the Torah, stand up, and read from Achrimos, the Ach Be'asor, share Parshas Mo'ados, also from Ach Be'asor, which is the area of the that mentions in the Torah of the holidays, Atsof Enyon, until the end of that area. The goal of the Torah, he rolled the Torah, Manicha Vachiko, he put it, what do you call it, in his, by his chest area. Gomer, Yosef Moshe Korasif Nechem Kosufan. There's even more that I've read for you that's here. Uva Asor Shevchom Shevchudim Atzov Enyan Koros Al Peh. So you would actually read from Bar Midbar about the Koranos there by heart, not reading from the Torah. Lama Kor Al Peh, why would he read it by heart? Shein Gol and Sefer Torah B'Tzibur, because you don't roll a Sefer Torah when they have a congregation around, because it's Tircha D'Tzibur. Lama Liyukar B'Sefer Achar, so why not bring another Sefer Torah out? So you never read from two different Torahs because it implies there's a begam, what it call on the validity of the first Sefer Torah. Halachid Aleph, Be'esha Korah, so as we finish up Perek Gimel, Be'esha Korah, Mibarach V'Neach Oreach, so when he reads, he makes a bracha before and after, Kedash Baruch Meitz Knesses, just like what the brachas you make in Shul, when you have laning. Mosev Akoreach Shev Baruch Meitz, and he would add seven brachas afterwards. Ratzei Hashem Akeinu, Modim Nachalach, Slachton Avinu Kikotanu, V'chosim Ba, that's that first chunk. Those are the three brachas as they were made for Shemon Esrei. V'varach al mekadesh bracha b'fnei atzma ye'inyana shi'yamon ha'mikdash v'shchina v'sochah v'chotzen v'var bracha shem shechem v'tzion. A special bracha was made that the base of mikdash should stand. V'varach al Yisrael, and you make a bracha on the Jews. Bracha b'fnei atzma inyana shi'oshia shem Yisrael v'lo yasser mehem melech v'chotzen v'var bracha shem shechem v'tzion. So you make a bracha for the Jewish people. V'varach al kohanah bracha b'fnei atzma. You make a bracha for the kohanim in and of itself. Inyana shi'yirtzeh ha'makom ma'aseim avdasim v'rachem v'chotzen v'var bracha shem mekadesh kohanim. After this, he would engage in certain types of prayers and supplications and praises and requests, like he would normally do. And that's how we end his tefillah. Okay, that ends Parak Gimel, and we will continue with Parak Daled tomorrow.